You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, let's get into something that perhaps is a little more interesting and a little more important than worrying about Rob Ford's assistant using his cell phone to call a player to say don't be late for practice, if you get my meaning. James Gusbrook is here. He's the Vice President of Communications of the Insurance Bureau of Canada, representing insurance companies that for our purposes, here in Ontario. And James, thanks for coming back. You were first here a couple of weeks ago, and we said we agreed you'd come back and focus in on the price of car insurance these days. Give us the broad outlook on the price. It, from my point of view, it still seems to be going up and up. Is that my imagination?
No, it's not your imagination.
No, it's not.
Whether it's going up and up is one question, but certainly it is too high.
Even you guys say it's too high.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's two things we know about consumers when it comes to insurance, and one is that for the most part, they don't understand insurance very well, and number two, we all agree that we're paying too much for it, and in particular,
Understand that
auto insurance.
We understand that part, James, quite easily.
So the question is, what are we going to do about it?
Well, exactly. What can we do about it?
What we've done with Insurance Bureau of Canada is we've gone on the road, and we're touring communities all around the province, and in particular in the GTA, and going to malls and talking with people about what it is that drives the cost of auto insurance, and then getting their thoughts and their opinions about what we might be able to do to help fix it. And the bottom line is, you know, we all have a role to play. We all have something to do to help address the continued excessive auto insurance costs.
Fair enough. But what can a mere mortal who is honest at heart, long-suffering, paying a very expensive premium for his or her car insurance, what's that person to do to help in this situation?
Well, give us your ideas, for one, on how to make the system work better for everybody. That's one thing we're hoping to do.
But you just told us a minute ago we don't understand it very well. How can we give you any decent ideas on how to run the joint?
it's about awareness on one hand and understanding auto insurance a little better. And we're attempting to shine a little light on it and draw attention to what the problem is out there. And the problem that we've been talking about is overuse, fraud, and abuse that exists and continues to exist within the auto insurance system.
What's the difference between overuse and fraud? Maybe you could explain that for us.
Well, you've got sort of different degrees of criminality here, right? You know, there are outright organized criminal gangs that will stage collisions, and there's a whole network of providers, medical services, paralegals, tow truck operators, you know, the whole gamut. And I'm not slagging any one industry, by the way. It's just that there happen to be certain members within these professions.
Absolutely. But a meaningful amount.
A meaningful amount that will stage collisions, and, you know, orchestrate all sorts of medical claims with insurers and get very excessive payouts out of it. That's the extreme.
Yeah.
You've
What's
also
at the
got,
other end then?
At the other end, you've got individuals who file a claim just on their home insurance, say, and they've got a better TV than they used to have after the claim. You know, so just exaggerate.
A couple of dents got fixed on the old family jalopy that weren't caused by the accident.
What we might call opportunistic fraud.
Well, are you suggesting it? But it's not all our fault.
Absolutely not. Oh. It's we ask people to be aware that these kinds of things go on, and to be militant in not tolerating it. Mm-hmm. You know, not many people are inclined to report insurance fraud. If they catch wind of something, if they see something that just doesn't pass the smell test, most of us just let it go. Let's not do that anymore. Let's start reporting more often.
Well, who would we report that kind of thing to? So what if I know of some case where insurance fraud is being practiced profitably for some bad guys, what am I supposed to do? Call the police?
Or even better, you can start by calling the IBC Tips Line. We have an investigative services division that specializes in investigating organized fraud and so on. Mm-hmm. And the number for that is 1-877-IBC-TIPS.
Oh, what is that? Give me the number. Do you know the number?
I don't have the number here.
Somebody, I hate that. I have to look at the keyboard. What does that mean? All right. Maybe Mary can figure that out, and we'll get it later. You always go to IBC. If you put that in Google, in fact, those three initials, even, you guys pop up.
Absolutely. You can go to IBC.ca, and there's a spot there for reporting fraud. There's also stuff there from our recent awareness campaign where we're trying to educate people a little better on how auto insurance works. There's a whole wealth of information on there that people can benefit from.
But the other thing must be, and I'm conjecturing, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, here the insurance rates would be highest right here in the GTA, right? If I own and operate a car in and around the GTA, I'm going to pay more for insurance than if I lived in North Bay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, Ontario, auto insurance is by far more expensive than anywhere else in the country. You know, the average premium here is about $1,500.
Yeah.
You go out east and it's closer to $800. In Alberta, it's about $1,000. So Ontario in general is more expensive, but there's no question about it. The problem is most acute within the GTA.
More cars, more accidents. Is that a reasonable equation?
More cars, more accidents. Also, that fraudulent activity that we talked about.
Added on top of
there's
that.
There's a more sophisticated network of providers and so on that know how to execute that sort of thing. They tend to be centered around the GTA as well.
What can a mere mortal do in terms of trying to get the best bang for her buck out of her insurance policy? For her car or her house. We can talk about that too. I had my house insurance go up so much, I had to fire my insurance company and I went to somebody else.
Good.
I got a broker, went to another company, and got a much better deal.
And that right there is the essence of one thing that people should do, and that's shop around.
Yeah.
Let's not ever forget that there are dozens and dozens of insurance companies out there who are competing for your business. So if you don't like what you're getting with one insurance company, go to brokers, go to agents, shop online. You can find better deals out there.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Carry on. You were going to say something else.
Other things that you'd want to do to try and lower your rates would be to make sure that you've got your home and your auto insurance with one insurance company. By bundling, you get discounts. Making sure that you're getting all the discounts that are available to you. And again, you talk to your insurance provider about that.
Is there an argument against bundling? Is there an argument against having the same insurer insure your house and your car?
No argument that I'm aware of. I think generally people benefit from doing that.
Just in terms of maybe you made a claim on your house insurance, and would that somehow affect a claim you might make later on your car insurance? I mean, the company knows a lot more about you if they're insuring your house and your car. And I think some people are a bit edgy about that. You understand the reluctance, I'm sure.
Sure, I understand people have that reluctance to disclose all information to their insurance company.
It's like having one bank for everything, right? Lots of people don't do that as well.
Right. However, even if you do move to another insurance company, technically you should be reporting everything to them as well so that they know all information so that they can properly set your premiums. So even if you're moving, it is recommended to have full disclosure.
But setting the premium for your house insurance should have nothing to do with setting the premium for your car insurance. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Okay. They are insured separately. It's just a discount, a loyalty discount,
Do you have a broad idea of how much you could save if you bundled those two things together? Is it a reasonable amount of money?
Yeah, it varies by insurer, you know, but it'd be a discount of, say, 10 or 15% on each of them.
Well, that could be considerable then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the kind of policy that you buy? In terms of the kind of coverage that you're buying, is there any way to be more economical there without reducing the safety net that you expect the insurance to provide?
Absolutely. You know, there's the portion of auto insurance that you have to buy, which is the liability and the accident benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's optional coverages as well, collision and comprehensive. And that's, you know, that's there to insure your vehicle if your car gets banged up. And you don't have to have collision and comprehensive. So it's an option that people are going to have. For instance, if you're driving a bit of a beater, if your car is pretty old,
yeah.
Not a bad idea to consider dropping the collision and comprehensive. It might not be worth the cost of the premium if you have to eventually
comprehensive fix the car. Would be stone chip or something like that, right?
Yes,
that kind of
or,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tree falls on car, that kind of thing.
Yeah, or there's a flood and water comes up into the vehicle. That would be comprehensive coverage as well.
And if you reduce the collision or even take it off. That's a pretty expensive part of your premium, isn't it?
It can be significant. It can be significant. Certainly, the liability and accident benefits portions are the big ticket items with auto insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
One other option for people, too, is to raise their deductible, of course. You can always look at raising the higher the deductible, the lower your premiums will be.
Well, because, and I think we discussed this last time, a lot of people, if it's a minor thing, they don't like to put it through their insurance company because they know full well the insurance premium's going to go up. Better to work out an arrangement with the guy who bumped into you or vice versa and not involve the insurance company. Insurance companies don't mind in minor cases like that, do they?
No, I mean, insurance is there for the big losses, right?
Yeah.
You know, the little things that happen, if you can afford to absorb that yourself, then it's a good option.
But isn't that, and that's true, and I certainly believe that, but I'm thinking maybe a lot of people haven't necessarily come to that conclusion. The insurance is really there for the big loss. Whether
yes.
you're talking about house insurance or whether you're talking about car insurance, they're to protect you against the profound damage that can occur to either of your possessions.
Absolutely, yeah. The stuff, that, you know, the kinds of things that would, you know, really financially damage or ruin you if you had to pay for it yourself. That's why we buy insurance,
yeah.
Not for the little bumps and scrapes that happen to us on a semi-regular basis.
However, if you're covered for the bump and scrape and you've paid enough for the premium and you want to get it fixed, that's still your option, right?
Sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you can do it. All
yeah.
right. It's 11:45. If you have a question for James Gosbrook, who's the Vice President of Communications for the Insurance Bureau of Canada, we're trying to focus in today on the cost of car insurance. And to a certain degree, house insurance as well. Because is it not going up? It's not my imagination that house insurance is going up, is it?
Home insurance is up a little bit, I think, but still, you know, much more affordable overall than car insurance.
Not to the same proportions that car insurance is.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's 11:48 and James Gosbrook is here, Vice President of Communications at IBC, the Insurance Bureau of Canada. You have an example of an excessive claim that turned out to be a phony claim. I'd like you to run through some of the costs so you can demonstrate just how bad it gets with some of these accidents, okay?
Sure thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, the price is wrong is kind of the slogan we've created that we're talking about as we're touring various malls to talk about this issue. This was an accident where the damage to the vehicle was just over $2,000.
Okay.
And as many people would know, you could do that with a fingernail. That is
yeah,
a
it
small
isn't much,
amount
is it?
Of damage.
Yeah.
From there, though, the housekeeping claim was $5,000. There was income replacement of almost $30,000. Medical treatments were more than $29,000. and medical exams were $62,000.
We're talking some kind of whiplash claim or something, right?
Is that yes, right? Yes. And it's hard to believe that in a collision that only caused $2,000 in damage to the car, that all those other expenses adding up to more than $129,000 really makes sense.
And this worked out to be the work of a bunch of bad guys who put this claim in.
This turned out to be the work of a fraudster, and it's the kind of thing that we see too often.
I guess. Let's hear from Andy calling from Etobicoke. Andy, do you have a question for James Gisbert?
Yes, I do. My question would be, why you did not mention direct compensation, which is a quite expensive part of the policy, and why it is mandatory?
Direct compensation. That's part of the mandatory as well. This is where if you are, you're testing my memory a little bit on this one. This is where if you're there's damage to your vehicle, and you were not at fault, then your own insurer will cover the cost of that. It's all
yes,
a part of trying.
Why it's mandatory? Because it's my vehicle. I would like to choose not to have that option. I would like to simply buy a new vehicle. But I'm forced to pay a few hundred dollars for that thing that I do not need at all. So
well, you,
that's,
then you
got
to talk to the Ontario government about that because that's regulated, isn't it?
It's built into the system. It is regulated, as Dale says, and talk to your provider in terms of what your options are as well. But it's part of a no fault system that attempts to limit how much back and forth there are between at-fault drivers and not-at-fault drivers and limit the lawsuits that go on, which can just get in the way of payment happening quickly.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Here's John. John, do you have a question for James?
Yes, I do. Very briefly, I used to pay $140.51 per month. It ended in June of this year and shot up $16.
Yeah.
And I called the company. First thing I did is, why has it gone up $16? And they had no, what bugs me is they had no proper answer except that, well, that's the way the market is. I said, I've got 53 years, no claims from England, ex-driving instructor, an absolutely clean record, not many around now. They had no clear, concise answer for me why my rate went up $16, except that it was the market and that's the way it is.
So did you find another insurance company? What did you do?
I'm starting to search now on the advice of yourselves there.
Well, I mean, James, that's always a good idea. If you don't like the price increase, either do it yourself or find a broker who can do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Always remember that it's a competitive market and do some shopping around. It's I understand the caller's frustration with that. You know, that is the sad reality that even individuals out there who have long driving
53 records, years, did you say?
That's right, sir.
That's a long time.
Clean driving records.
Yeah.
Insurance being a pool, we all pay into this pool that goes out. That's
we're penalized even if we don't have accidents.
Yeah. Certainly as individuals, that if you keep a clean driving record, that will keep your premiums reasonably under control. But to some degree, those market forces do affect all of us.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, John. Get a broker and or look around yourself or do both, you know?
Absolutely.
The prices are not exactly the same with every insurance company, are they?
No, they can be quite different from one to the other.
Yeah, okay. Joanne's on the line from Brampton. Joanne, do you have a question?
Hi, I do. Thanks for taking my call. I live in Brampton, and the rates here are exorbitant. And all of my friends and neighbors were complaining about the same thing. The question I have for James is this. It seems to me that insurance there's a culture, and the culture needs to be changed. People see it as an opportunity of entitlement or where they can make money. And that's where I think we need to tackle insurance. James, can that be done, or what can be done regarding that?
That's an interesting thought, Joanne. I think James is smiling at that one.
First of all, it's an unfortunate thing about how expensive insurance is in the GTA in general, and Brampton, there's no question about it, is a particularly bad area. But I think you're absolutely right. This is the problem, that for many people out there, the limits that we have on our auto insurance are not limits, they're targets. You know, they're shooting to get the most that they possibly can. It's, you know, some fraudulent claimants out there. It's also those various providers that work the system. Again, not all, but yeah. Certain ones, you know.
Don't worry, insurance company will pay for that part of it, right? I mean, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. And they'll stretch it for all it's worth. So if we can generally reduce our tolerance for that, report it when you see that sort of thing going mm-hmm. on, and don't accept when other people are doing it, that can, hopefully, that'll help make a difference.
Joanne, thanks very much for bringing that up. It's a little bit like the complaint you hear from time to time about unemployment insurance. Well, I worked for so many years, I should be able to claim it, as if it were a savings account into which you're putting money, and insurance is just a covering you for a risk, is it not? I mean, that's essentially it.
It's there to put you back into the condition you were in before the accident, not to make you rich, if you will.
Okay, not to escalate your financial situation. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, do you have a question for James Gisbrook?
Yes, I do. I've been driving for about 40 years, and about 15 years ago, I sold my car because I started working for a company where they supplied a car.
Yeah.
And I've been driving that company car for about 15 years, and just recently, I lost a company car, so I had to go back to my regular car, which I hadn't been driving for about 15 years.
Yeah.
I went to get insurance from my old company, and they said they had to treat me as a new driver.
Yeah, because they have no record of where you were for the past 15 years, right?
But I can get proof from the company I've been working with. I've been driving the car for 15 years, but they won't accept it.
What about that kind of situation, James?
Yeah, I mean, it's the vehicle that's insured, and I guess that's what's happening here. With the vehicle hasn't been insured for a while, so it looks like a new driver. But I would think if you could demonstrate that you have been driving during that period of time, They should respect that. And again, you've got the option of shopping around and talking to other providers.
Well, that sounds like another, from my point of view at least, Jerry, another broker situation. Get somebody on the case who can shop the market for you.
I have done that. I have really done that. I even got an affidavit from my previous company. I got an affidavit from them, and I presented to six different insurance companies in the last 2 weeks.
But get a broker to do some of that for you. You shouldn't have to do that yourself. Get a broker. Yeah, an independent broker. Let them do it. They're the experts, and there's got to be somebody out there who wants your money and will insure you, right?
I hope so.
All right, Jerry, good luck. Although that may not be true in absolutely every single case, depending upon your driving record, but a broker would probably do a better job by knowing precisely where to go to fit somebody's specific needs, right?
Yes.
That's the theory, isn't it?
Yes, they should.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. We'll get one more call in from Werner, calling from Whitby. Werner, do you have a question for James?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, please.
We had an accident with a car in a parking lot in a shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
A person, an elderly person, either walked in to the car or got notched by the car. Fell down and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I try to get another insurance, and I tell them all this, and they say, you better stay because they forgive you the first accident.
Yeah.
Now, is this going to be, it wasn't me the driver, will that be on my record? Is that why I cannot change?
You're the owner of the vehicle, I take it, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and the insurance goes with the car, which is, you know, one reason why people have to be very careful who they lend their vehicle to. So
you should stick with the company, take advantage of the one free, right?
Yeah. Other insurances that I contacted, they said you have to stay with them at least 5 years before this is nullified.
Yeah, I would certainly do that too. If you've got one free collision with your current insurer, I would stay with them.
Yeah, Werner, thanks very much for your call. Totally out of time once again. James Gisbrook, thanks very much for being here. IBC, if you put that in Google, it will pop right up, and you can find out all kinds of information. You're going to be appearing at malls, you say?
Kitchener-Waterloo? We're at Kitchener-Waterloo this weekend talking about the Price is Wrong. We're going to be at Fairview Mall next weekend, and the one after that will be at Bramley Mall in Brampton.
All right. Thanks very much for coming in today.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.